Well, friends, thank you so much for that incredibly kind welcome. And look, can I start by thanking Andy Harrop and his team for the brilliant job they do at the Fabians. Week in, week out, month in, month out, they come up with the ideas. They're not just an ideas organisation. They're about on-the-ground organisation for our party. So please put your hands together for the Fabian team, ladies and gentlemen. Now, of course, Fabians have been known down the ages for their sense of humour, among other things. So I've got a question for you. Why did the chicken cross the road? The answer is to avoid the TV election debates. I think that is pretty clear after this week. Look, it is great to be here at the Fabians, and there is no better time to be here than at the start of the year of the general election. And I want today to spell out to you the argument of that election. And I want to start by telling you what I'm fighting for in this election, what I believe in. I believe in a fairer, more just, and more equal Britain. I believe the work of all working people, not just those who get the big bonuses, should be properly rewarded in our country. I believe every child should have the best start in life and be able to afford to get an apprenticeship or go to university. I believe that every powerful interest in our country, from the banks to the energy companies, should be accountable to our country. And I believe that our vital public services, including our NHS, are the pride of our country and must be there for us when we need them. And you know, I believe something else. I believe we succeed as a society when we move together, not when we drift apart. These are my basic beliefs, and it's all underpinned by one idea, that it's only when working people succeed that Britain succeeds. And it's because of these beliefs that I believe that this is the most important election for a generation, because it's the biggest choice for a generation. About who we are, about how we live together, and about how we succeed as a nation. That's why it's more important than ever that we do what we know we can, which is go out and win this general election. Let's start with where we are now as a country. We all know the reality. For the first time since the 1920s, working people will be worse off at the end of a government than they were at the start. We all know the reality. Young people face a harder life than their parents. University tuition fees have trebled, and apprenticeships for young people are actually falling in our country. We all know the reality. Rents and the cost of home ownership put the dream of buying a home beyond the reach of millions. We all know the reality. Zero-hours contracts have exploded, driving down wages and allowing some firms to play havoc with people's lives. We all know the reality. We're a country of food banks and bank bonuses, a country where social mobility is going backwards and privilege is rewarded, a country where taxes are cut for millionaires and millions pay more. And we're a country where this government has failed on the deficit. Because they've failed to tackle the cost of living crisis, because wages have been pushed down for ordinary families, because the revenues haven't come in, they haven't balanced the books. Week after week, month after month, year after year, this government has shown a tin ear for what is really going on. They've denied the cost of living crisis. They've been woefully out of touch with the struggles of ordinary families. They've rubbished the idea that people are worse off. They've pretended that their give with one hand, take more with the other tax changes have actually made people better off. And you know, even this week, George Osborne was actually saying that we were set under him to be the richest country in the world, and that his economic victory is complete. Now, after all this denial and all this complacency, it's so clear that the Tories think this is as good as it gets. And then imagine our surprise when we wake up this morning and we now hear that the Prime Minister thinks Britain needs a pay rise. I tell you, people across the country are choking on their cornflakes. This is someone who has spent months and years telling us there is no cost of living crisis. And if there ever was one, it's been fixed. You could not make it up. 5 years of denial, complacency, and failure on living standards. And less than 4 months before an election, he claims to have woken up to the problem. Who is he trying to kid? You can't wipe out 5 years of failure on living standards with pre-election pleading. You can't magic away people being £1,600 a year worse off by trying to take credit for falling oil prices. You can't obscure your decisions to cut taxes for a few millionaires with warm words suddenly about everybody else. You can't change who you are. A party and a government for a few at the top that has betrayed the working people of Britain. And I do say to the British people, you don't need to look into the crystal ball to see what the next 5 years of Tory government would be like. You just need to look at their records. Failure on living standards, failure on the economy, failure on the deficit, you and your family worse off. You can't build an economy that works for working people unless we have a Labour government. That is the reality, friends. And why has David Cameron suddenly woken up and claimed to understand the problems of the country? Is it because he really means it, or because he knows he has failed? Of course, it's because he knows he can't defend his record. That's one of the reasons he's running from the debates. He's neither proud of his record nor confident about his plans for the future. And you know what? His is a mission that will keep failing the British people. Because what is their plan for the next 5 years? What are they trying to get re-elected on? I've only heard one central manifesto idea from them. And that's to cut public spending as a share of national income back to the levels of the 1930s. You see, that's the truth that's come out. The Tory plan to shrink the state is far from complete. In fact, they're not even halfway through the cuts they would make. Now, what would that mean? Here are some examples of what it might mean. An end to all central government funding for local government and the destruction of local services, from Meals on Wheels to children's centres. Our NHS undermined even further by cuts to social care and the reality that no national health service can succeed with the levels of spending the Tories are talking about. And this doesn't just matter for our society, it matters for our economy as well. Because you see, we can't build a 21st century economy with 1930s levels of public spending. Think about what the Tory plan would mean for the productive potential of our economy. Education, skills, opportunities for young people, they would all be further undermined. I'll tell you this, the Tories will never tackle the cost of living crisis. They will never build real and enduring prosperity for working people. They will never balance the books with a plan to cut spending back to 1930s levels. Britain can do better than this. Of course, Britain isn't the only country in the world to be faced with these challenges. The problem of inequality causing a cost of living crisis is a problem right across the world. From Australia to America, nations are grappling with it. This is our generation's greatest challenge. And Britain should lead the way in showing how it can be solved. The problem is that under David Cameron, we have a government who, far from turning things around, is making things worse. And it's not by accident. It's because they're guided by totally the wrong beliefs about how a country succeeds in the 21st century. Beliefs that have had their time. Beliefs that should be consigned to history. Let me just tell you about some of those beliefs. It's the belief that insecurity is the way you make working people work harder. Well, I believe something else. I believe it's the security and confidence that helps working people succeed, build strong families and a better life for their children. It's the belief that low pay is the only way we can compete in the world. Well, I believe something else. I don't believe we can compete with the sweatshops of the world on low wages, and nor that we should try. I believe we should compete on high skills and high wages. It's the belief that markets will always get the right outcome, even if that means powerful interests have all the power in our country. Well, I believe something different, that no vested interest should be allowed to take the public for a ride. It's the belief that we can't afford decent public services when money is tight. Well, I believe something different. We can always make fairer choices because we can't afford not to have the public services we need for our economy, our society, and for our future. Above all, it's their belief that the success of the country depends just on a few at the top, with the wealth magically trickling down to everybody else. It doesn't work. I believe something different. I believe that experiment has failed. I believe the success of a country depends on the success of all working people. And this is the Tories' governing mission. Reduce government to its very core. Cut services to the bone. Give huge tax cuts to the very wealthiest. Let powerful interests have things all their own way. And then sit back and somehow hope the country will succeed. But friends, it has failed. That's why Britain needs a new plan to address our economic problems. A plan based on a fundamentally different idea. The idea that if you put working people first, then Britain as a whole will do well both now and in the future. That's what we offer in this general election. And each day, each week, each month, the beating heart of the Labour government will be the fortunes of working people. So we will balance the books and cut the deficit every year, but not by shredding our public services. Instead, we'll make common sense reductions in spending, with departmental spending falling outside protected areas. But we know you can't simply cut your way to deficit reduction. So we will make sure that everyone pays their fair share. We will repeal this government's tax cut for millionaires, and we will introduce a mansion tax on homes above £2 million to fund our National Health Service. And most importantly of all, we'll cut the deficit with the different kind of economy we need for working people. Higher skills, higher wages, higher productivity, and therefore higher revenues. A race to the top, not a race to the bottom in wages and conditions. That's why we will end the scandal of exploitative zero-hours contracts. It's why we'll raise the minimum wage to over £8 an hour, and to create the country we believe in, to build that future, young people will be at the heart of our plan. You know, I think we judge the ethics of a country by whether it gives dignity to those in old age. And we judge the future of a country by the prospects of the young. I don't know about you, but I don't think there has ever been a government that has made young people so much pay the price of hard times. We will have a different direction. An education system that serves every child in our country, creative and inspiring, and doing what our country has never done, valuing vocational and academic education equally in our country for the first time. It's a basic truth. Every young person deserves the chance of a decent education after 18 and a career. And we need to be doing the right things by the next generation and the generation after, by putting climate change at the centre of our agenda for the future. Not just for the environment, but in our plan for the economy and the jobs of the future in Britain. Let me put it this way. I cared about climate change when I was the climate change secretary. I care about it as leader of the opposition, and I will care about it and lead on it as the Prime Minister of this country. And to make this plan work for working people, we need every part of our society playing their part from top to bottom. The powerful interests that have had things their own way for too long finally held to account. Let's have the fight about who will really stand up to the energy companies. A Tory party that stands by as people are ripped off month after month, year after year, or a Labour plan that gives the regulator the power to cut prices with an energy price freeze until 2017 to ensure prices can only fall and cannot rise. And we'll break up the big banks and get proper competition on the high street and create a British investment bank with regional banks in every single part of our country. And friends, those fair rules shouldn't just apply to the powerful. Everyone should play by them, including people who come to live and work in Britain from abroad. Immigration makes us stronger, richer, and more powerful as a nation. That is a truth I believe. But making immigration work for everyone and not just a few means people should contribute before they claim. And we should never, ever allow companies to undercut wages and conditions of workers here by paying slave wages to those who come from overseas. And you know, an open, tolerant Britain is the way we succeed in our society and in our economy. And it's an open, tolerant Britain inside, not outside, the European Union. If you want to know what a real threat to prosperity looks like, just think about a Conservative government re-elected and sleepwalking to the exit door of the European Union. We've seen the movie before, John Major's government. That would just be a Tea Party in comparison to what a re-elected Conservative government would look like, riven apart by on Europe and the British people paying the price. And you know, finally, our plan will transform our public services for the 21st century, even in tough times, including our National Health Service. I think it's extraordinary that we're a country where in the last 2 weeks, we've seen a treatment tent erected in a hospital car park. We've seen ambulances queuing up outside hospitals. And we've seen a patient being treated in a store cupboard. It is shameful. David Cameron should be ashamed. He has betrayed people's trust on our National Health Service, and the British people will never trust him again. And what you will see from Labour is plans for public health, for mental health, and our 10-year plan for the future of health and social care. Not a plan for the NHS to stand still, but a plan to improve the service for the future. Because this is the thing I've learned most of all. The only way to solve the A&E crisis inside our hospitals is by improving services at home and in the community. That is the truth. Access to GPs, care for the elderly, a 21st century health and social care service, that must be the future for our National Health Service, friends. And yes, it's right not just to have a mansion tax, not just to raise new revenue from the tobacco companies, but also to clamp down on tax avoidance by the hedge funds to fund more midwives, care workers, doctors, and nurses. Those with the broadest shoulders should bear the greatest burden, and we do need an NHS with time to care. And it will be an NHS run on the right principles. The principles I believe in for our health service. Care, compassion, cooperation, not competition, privatization, and fragmentation. And that is why we will repeal the Health and Social Care Act. This is a plan that can change things for our country, a plan that can make Britain a world leader in the campaign to tackle the greatest 21st century challenge we face of inequality and an economy that doesn't work for everyday people. It is a plan that can bring real enduring prosperity to every part of Britain. But here's the thing, it's not a plan that's going to happen automatically. It will require a new way of doing things. And you know what's most important to this? As well as tackling inequalities of wealth and income, we will tackle inequalities of power. Because it's the right thing to do, and it's the only way to make our plan work. All sources of power in our country, private and public, should be accountable. That means at local level, health, education, and policing should be accountable to local people, and they will be. And it means we take power and resources out of Whitehall, with a comprehensive, not a piecemeal plan for city and county regions over economic development, over transport, over skills, over all the things that matter to local people, which should be decided by local people. A £30 billion devolution of spending to local people. It's time to reverse a century of centralisation in our country. And you know what, friends? Just as the only way to govern is by sharing power, so the only way to win is the power of our movement. It's going to take a political campaign like no other to bring it about. We have a huge task ahead of us. It's going to be hard. I don't know whether you've noticed, but those who currently have the power will do anything to keep it. But here's what gives me a sense of optimism. Here's what should give you a sense of hope. Remember this. They're the pessimists. They're the pessimists at this election. They're the pessimists saying this is as good as it gets for Britain. We are the optimists, not offering false hope, but a sense of optimism that we can do better as a country. Not a promise that it will all be transformed on day one, but that we can change the direction of this country. I know we can. And that is what good people around this country believe too. We've got our chance now to change our country. Let's take it. Let's grab it. Let's fight for the future of working people. Let's fight for the success of our country. Let's fight for the Britain we believe in. More equal, more just, and more fair. Thank you very much.